It's like your tantrums are less.
I'm sorry. I have to get some chapstick. I'm having a whole fucking issue with my face. And I'm developing eczema, apparently, at the age of 34.
This episode of Dear Jessamine has profanity, sex talk, weed smoking, and a bunch of other shit that is just not for everybody. You also may not agree with the stuff we say or how we say it, and we think that's great. Today, we're recording from stolen Cherokee, Shawnee, Uchi, and Chickasaw lands. We promote cannabis medicine to people over 21. If you're not 21, come back when you are.
What I want to do to myself is selfish in the best way.
Hey, Jessamine.
Hey, Ash.
How's it going?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm okay also.
Okay.
What are you calling in?
Well, I was just saying I've been trying to call in patients. Mm-hmm. I feel like I say that every week. And I feel like this week in particular, there's a need for patients because we've been traveling across the country since Saturday and we are off schedule. We usually record on Wednesdays and now we're recording on Thursday. And we're recording in Central Time, and we've been traveling through Mountain Time and out of Pacific Time, and we're about to go into Eastern Time. We're trying to keep up with people who are on Eastern Time. Keeping all the time zones straight, I think, has been, I don't know about a struggle, but it's definitely been an interesting experience this week, and it has required a lot of patience from me. It's nice to get out of town, or it's nice to get into nature. I've missed living on the camper and living on the road. And I think that coming back to this, like, living in motion has been a really interesting transition for me, and I can only assume for both of us. And so I'm curious to hear your thoughts about that today. But I think that in general, I'm just trying to be patient with myself. And I was really being hard on myself yesterday in a lot of different ways for a lot of different reasons. And I woke up with like a lot of realizations about how I am viewed by the world, how we are viewed by the world. And so just wanting to be patient, like there's a point in the self-criticism and in the self-critique where it just becomes it's not beneficial. It's not helpful. And so I definitely reached that point with my Virgoan self-critique this morning and have been letting it go and now have found my way here and I don't mind being here. What are you calling in this week?
Wow, I didn't have any sense of that of you this morning so far.
Yeah, totally. How do you mean?
You haven't said anything about all the self-critique.
Yeah. I mean, it's going on like constantly. I'm a very critical person. And I think that today in particular, I just realized like the way that our laissez-faire attitude could be viewed by other people. And I was like, oh God, I hate being seen that way. Like, oh, this is not how I want to be seen. And then it's just like, it just is, you know, I don't really need to explain myself.
People see us. I don't understand what you mean.
I don't know if we really need to like talk about it in depth here because it is a lot of like extrapolations and assumptions mm-hmm. and thoughts. But I mean, and also it's kind of like how I think my mom would view us. So like, I don't know. I don't think that it's probably not anything all that surprising. Disorganized, confused, lazy, all kinds of things like that. And it's frustrating because I feel like generally not those things, but I don't pretend to not be those things. And so therefore that's not clear to other people. But then that's all just like my me making assumptions about what other people are thinking. So I don't really know that I need to give that much voice to it, but I think it's the self-critique that a lot of people struggle with and are considering at one point or another. And it's just things that I think about. especially in regard to being the boss and being in charge and setting a standard and not wanting to set a standard that is going to reflect poorly on everyone involved, and feeling responsible for the other people that I work with and that I collaborate with, and wanting to do my best work for them too.
I'm just really blanking on what I'm calling in. You asked me about life in transit, being back on the road. I kind of feel like this is like a plane ride or something, like a really long, just like transit journey. It doesn't feel like we're really camping. What's interesting about this time is that we have so much less stuff on the RV because we have a house to have some of the other stuff in. And so it's made like breaking down and setting up a lot easier as we're moving through, but it doesn't feel like normal, like living in the trailer. And I've missed parts of that for sure. One of the things though that has been really interesting about sort of dipping a toe back in is just like remembering the trapped feeling. I didn't know any different, I guess, when we got on the trailer the first time, but there is this like enhanced sense that like there's nowhere to go. There's absolutely nowhere to go and nowhere to be but with your thoughts or with you, which even just like working on this other episode that we were working on about our conflict, I feel like we are so different in the ways that we respond to like conflictual stimulus, you know? And I find that like there's a way that I move too fast in the world for you that you're like, oh my God, you're moving way too fast. What the fuck? And I'm sure it's at least a part of you calling in patience is like this thing I see in you a lot of like, either like you're being rushed by me, like I'm moving faster and you're not moving the same speed. And so you're feeling like I need you to move faster. Or I find that like sometimes with emotion or like big feelings, especially if like work is involved, if there's about to be some work, you move so fast. You're just like, it's got to be done. You've got to stop feeling that right now. And I'm like, I can't. I will completely stop feeling it when I'm done feeling it. But I can't just move through right now. Like starting this episode, it's not that I'm like having a bad day or like everything's awful. It's just that like there will be something that happens, especially on these recordings, like right before recording. And I'm just like, what the fuck? It's like it floors me and completely knocks me off balance. And then it takes me a minute to get back on balance. And sometimes I feel like there is this like insult to injury of like, I'm off balance and I'm trying to get back on balance. And you're like, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And I'm like, listen, you know what I mean? Like, and so in those ways, I feel like it feels kind of funny or coincidental, but I think that you're moving much faster than I'm able to in those spaces. And I'm just like, can we just slow down for a sec? It does make me giggle because I'm like, you're saying that to me. I'm saying that to you. Like, what is this relationship between like the speed with which things are done and I don't know, like our conflict styles? Because conflict just means like, something hit, you know what I mean? Like something met some other force or something. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. It doesn't necessarily mean something's wrong. You know, it could just mean like, oh, there's a stop there. What do we do now with that? You know, it's not flowing as it was. It doesn't have to be like anger, rage, aggression, pain, frustration, sadness, fear. It can just be like, oh, we conflicted on that. And then we, whatever, fought or talked it out or moved on or whatever. Like, it doesn't have to be, the conflict doesn't have to be the thing, but it's hard to remember sometimes because I'm like, but don't you understand? You have to understand. Let me explain it to you loudly. But everything is wet, like the weather, it comes and goes. You can't really blame the sky for the rain. You know? It's just weather. Letting it go is the opportunity. So I'm calling in. Release, maybe letting it go a little bit.
Yeah.
We are camping near a highway. That was pissing me off at the beginning of this recording, too. I was just like, I want the recording to be good. And it can still be good.
Yeah, I love the sound. Honestly, I noticed whenever we first got into this camp. Okay, so we should say, so this is What's New in Paradise.
Yeah.
So What's New in Paradise is that we are back on the road. We, over the last few days, have traveled from Northern California to just outside Nashville. This was not the first campground that we came to last night. The first one that we went to was in...
outside of Memphis, right?
Outside West Memphis, I feel like it's important. We've been listening to Waxahachie's song, Fire, quite a bit over the last 6 months in particular, but certainly over the last week. And
often prompted by me.
Yeah, it's like a good call to action song. But and we listened to the Song Exploder episode about it, which was really, I thought, so enlightening.
Hrishikesh Hirway, I just feel like I just want to shout you out real quick. That is such a my brain loves that show, Song Exploder, from Radiotopia. I feel like the idea of one person breaking down one song and being like, here's the layers, not only the layers of musicality, like the instrumentation, but like, here's the layers of what I was thinking when I was writing it. And gosh, I got some insight that the song Fire by Waxahachie was about, like she said, there's a line that says, if I could love you unconditionally. And she's speaking to herself, which I heard that. And then we heard this Song Exploder. She was talking about like having just got sober and all these different things of like, if I could just love myself unconditionally, all these other things, you know. And like you find that like the journey of learning how to love oneself unconditionally is actually like all of the pieces of the puzzle that make the whole picture. You know what I mean? But like the idea is that journey is like this prosperous journey. And I feel like we're on a similar journey of like, in this driving stuff, in the trappedness, in the not being able to get away, there is some, it really does, what's the word? It like releases into, where are you going to go? Like, where are you going? Why? What's going on? Can you sit here and think about it for a second? Can you feel this? Can you just be in this feeling and not run from this feeling? And so it's definitely like a, I don't know about you, but like, for me, it feels like a real Aries, like very conflictual way to handle the fact that I am a runner. I like to run away. I run away from things. And like the nearest I could get and still be responsible in this environment is like taking the car to the other edge of the campground. But like going beyond that is like, you really have to start thinking now, what are you wanting? If you need to get off this campground right now, for real, what are we doing in a bigger way? And I think those kinds of questions, I'm like, I don't want to get off the campground. I do want a little space. I don't want to get off the campground. But it means I have to come back into this very small space and have either figured something out or decided that I am like very committed to this fight, this conflict, you know? And I'm finding at 33, there is a release. There's just like, no, you're allowed to just let it go. You could just let it go. And I'm like, oh, I could let the train or the truck or the whatever's going by, I could just let it go. and so it is like a hyper concentrated version of, what are you really mad about right now? You know? And so in that way, it feels big and like it takes a lot of space in me, but it also feels really efficient. Like everything around this space feels really efficient. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's just so little space. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm calling in release. And What's New in Paradise is we're traveling. Mm-hmm. I'm still calling it in. I feel like I'm still needing it. Sorry.
No, you're good. I mean, it's really enlightening for me to hear you talk about feeling trapped and feeling like you have to get away.
But I think it's shedding light for me on this running instinct. I mean, I come by it very honestly. Have you seen anybody in my family, how they handle things that are too much? Like, I'm just trying to, it's like breaking generational curses. And it's painful. Breaking generational curses is physically painful, physiologically painful. And I feel a lot of gratitude for the ways that your intensity is also like able to like, I don't know, at least see it, if not meet it sometimes, you know, and be in this together kind of thing. Healing. The way healing is sometimes bloody. Birth is super bloody, you know. Anyway.
Well, we were talking about Waxahachie and the song Fire and Song Exploder. And I wanted to say that I really appreciated listening to the episode of Song Exploder about fire. And I'd not really like cared about that show that much. We watched the Netflix version of it one time, and it was about a song that I didn't know that much about and therefore didn't really care. But we also listened to the episode yesterday or day before or whatever about You Were Meant for Me by Jewel, which Jewel Pieces of You is one of the most important albums for me. And so to listen to her talk about that song is really dope and really incredible. And we've also listened to a couple other shows that are really interesting that I'd not cared about that much, but enjoyed the episodes. The Memory Palace and Criminal come to mind. But I wanted to talk specifically about Fire by Waxahachie, because there's a line in the song where she mentions being near West Memphis, or she's talking about West Memphis. And so it was really cool for me to see us driving past the signs for West Memphis. But last night we pulled up at this campground outside of Memphis, or it was in Memphis, and it just wasn't the vibe for the night. And it was a few hours before midnight, but we decided to keep driving to this campground that we're at right now. And we got here just after midnight and then needed to like set up the camper and set up the recording equipment in addition to that. And it was just a very like, it's just very real. Like all of these decisions are not, I wouldn't say that anything that we are doing feels particularly glamorous to me, but I also am enjoying it. And that's what's also really interesting for me to receive you feeling trapped, because I think I feel so much less trapped on the road than I do in California. Like I feel less trapped now. But when we're not in motion, I just feel like stale or like stagnant. Like I feel like, I don't know. It's just there's like an edge of overdone. And I appreciate the friction and the momentum. I hate needing to move quickly. And that's what's annoying to me about this trip. If there's anything that I don't prefer, it's that we have to get there at a certain day, on a certain day, because we have shit that has to happen. There's a reason that we've driven across the country, for both of us, two different reasons in two different parts of the East Coast. And I don't like rushing in general. And even on the way back, like I'm hopeful that we can spend a little, just be a little bit more luxurious with our time. I don't like rushing. And so that aspect of this has frustrated me. And I felt that on the way out to California too, we were rushing that time too. And that time we were rushing even more and driving even more hours every day. So this time feels a little bit more spacious than last time. And I hope that this next trip feels a little bit more spacious.
Totally. I love that as a goal. Yeah, I don't feel trapped all the time. I did just want to speak to that. Sorry.
Yeah.
I feel trapped in our conflict specifically.
Oh, yeah.
That like the friction that we are having with each other, the growing and breaking open and shit that we're tasking one another with like witnessing, that I feel trapped. Like, and part of the trapped is like, I feel like I'm too close to be me. Like that the space isn't big enough for who I am. Sometimes. And I see it in your face when you're sort of exasperated with my process, you know? And I'm just like, I don't have anywhere else to go, you know? And so it feels like I'm, whatever, fucking with your stuff. And that's part of what I don't like about it. But,
I mean, my stuff needs to get fucked with. Like, you push me to a place, like, your response sometimes will be so opposite of what I'm trying to do. And I get mad because it is not what I'm trying to do. Mm. But that is part of the point, that what I want to do is not always what needs to happen. And so there's also a need for, I need for you to be patient with me as I acclimate to what the actual temperature is, and not just what, not having a tantrum because it's not the temperature that I wanted it to be.
I feel like there's this like, it's almost like sibling stuff where like, or that's how I,
we have deep sibling vibes,
experience it sometimes, where you, it's like your tantrums are less.
I'm sorry. I have to get some chapstick. I'm having okay. A whole fucking issue with my face, and I'm developing eczema apparently at the age of 34.
I still have feelings inside of me about like how sensitive you are to like allergy and all, and just new products that you've been finding. Like, do you think it could be a product that you're using? Just because the path of it on your face is the path of the way that you wash it. Not right now. No, I've just been close the last couple weeks.
I think there are a bunch of different factors. Yeah. I think it could be a lot of different things.
Anyway.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
It's okay.
We're talking about sibling conflict.
Oh, just that. Yeah. That like it feels sometimes like your tantrums are so much more socially acceptable than my tantrums. And I'm like, it feels like you're an older sibling. Like that's an older sibling thing to do is be like, I mean, you don't have to wild out. Like, what are you? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so there's something about it where I'm like, I'm seeing you have like a lot of conflictual energy in you, or like be saying no for no reason or whatever else a tantrum might, you know what I mean, elicit. But mine, you can like hear down the street kind of thing. And I'm like, it's so
you
unfair.
Are a younger sibling.
I know.
The youngest for sure.
That's so funny. I actually woke up this morning thinking about, you know how we've been talking about like personality types and whose astrology is what, and is that a valid form of whatever? I woke up literally with this on my mind. Your like, what is that called? Where you're born, birth order, says more about you than any of this other bullshit.
Well, that's real.
Like how many kids were in your family growing up, whether you were with them the whole time or not, when did step siblings get involved? You know what I mean? Like all of that, I feel like could be like a fucking formula.
Totally. Literally.
You could like plug it into some kind of algorithm and be like, oh, you're this kind of bitch. Because I am like the youngest of three.
Literally.
There is no two ways about it.
It is 100%. It's not the youngest of four. It's not the youngest of two. You're not an only child. That's true. The youngest of three for sure.
So yeah, come by that honestly.
No, and I'm the oldest of two.
Yes, you are.
And it's very interesting to me having a younger sibling who is so different from you. And like the way that he shows up and the way that he, I don't ever remember him having tantrums at all. He is like the most chill human being that maybe has ever existed. But he does have tantrums now, but they're different. And like the way that you tantrum, I'll just be like, I mean, you tantrum in a way that my parents told us not to tantrum.
Oh, yeah.
So that I'm like, there's a part of that that comes out too, where I'm like, this is not appropriate behavior.
Yeah, totally. No, I tantrum in a way that like, you know, when people are like wondering about home training.
Right.
There were rarely homes to be trained in.
Totally, baby. Like, absolutely.
Not to be like, there's an excuse, but to be like, I was literally trying to figure out how to like alert people to like shit that was going on, and a lot of shit was going on. And so it's just amazing to put it all in context and like see. Honestly, I'm like, I love watching kids grow up. I'm finally at an age where I'm like, oh my God, I knew you when you were a baby and you're like, you have a job. This is weird, you know? And seeing that whole cycle, I'm like, what the fuck was going on? I'm just like.
Training ground, breeding ground.
Totally. So your brother's tantrum would be hilarious to think about now. God. Y'all are so like put together. Your whole family.
We're totally very, like Gemini twins, him and I.
Yeah.
But he's like the gay man version of me.
Y'all look so, it's just wild. The looking similar part is just, I'm like.
No, it's weird.
Basically, they took your mom and your dad and shoved them together and like
and then
two people popped out.
It's 5 years apart. It's really weird. Now, there's no doubting the paternity and maternity on either one
y'all
of us.
Y'all look. It's and the other thing is somehow he looks more like your mom and you look more like your dad, but also not at the same time. It's like how does
and
it
different at different times?
And you can't even. It's like it shifts too. I'll be like, well, you have her like, eyes, but also I think him sort of somehow too. How
he and I have the same birthmark.
You and similar. Your brother
don't have the same birthmark.
Do we have to bleep his name?
Oh, probably. We probably should.
Your brother and you have
the same. My younger brother and I have the same. Yeah.
I also want to do a whole episode about gay siblings. I don't have God, one as far as I know.
That you know of.
People who do, it's an elite club.
It's a good time.
I bet.
I'm really proud of it. It makes me like really happy.
Oh my God. The number of like, I mean, there's a number of gay people in my family, but going to a function and being like, nah, this bitch in my same generation.
Literally.
Who would like fight somebody for me is also gay.
And that's one of the things that they'll fight somebody about.
Literally. Anyway, so good for that.
We have a new segment today.
Do we?
It's called A Few of Our Favorite Things.
Oh, I love that.
Maybe we can play some of the music from The Sound of Music. Is that a thing?
These are a few of my favorite things.
Okay. Can I say my favorite thing?
Please.
I'm going to say my favorite thing. One of my favorite things this week is the Snickers Brownie Editions. Mm-hmm. They did a good thing at Snickers, at the Snicker Company. They made the peanut brownie Snickers bar, mm-hmm. and they made the almond brownie Snickers bar.
Yes.
They are both dankalicious, and they are available at convenience stores around the country.
And across the country.
And across the country. Oh, and you know, another one of my favorite things is it's either Pilot or Flying J, and they might be the same thing, actually. Mm-hmm. Pilot, Flying J gas stations. They had the RV specific diesel pumps.
Totally.
And I was like, bitch, what? Because they do, they'll be like big rig truck diesel lines.
And there will be islands for that separate.
Separate
island.
They have separate
gas.
Pumps. And getting diesel is a whole fucking issue in and of itself because of the variety of diesel options, depending on what gas station you're at. But the Flying J Pilot, they had that. Those RV lines, I felt so taken care
of. Well, the reason the RV diesel island is so helpful is that we have this trailer. So pulling into the regular gas station pumps is fine when there's a diesel pump there, but it can be a pain in the ass, especially if it's congested, because we have this like giant ass behind us that we're just like pulling along.
It's a caboose.
So the caboose doesn't navigate so well around these like tight turns. And so in that way, it just like gets you out of the fray, and it's just... Oh, man. Being in the fray with the trailer and having to get on the correct side, because diesel pumps, like half of them don't have the right pump. It's on the wrong side.
It might be broken.
It probably is broken. You get there and it's all red handles and no green handles, even though the sign says diesel.
I didn't know that was red.
And you go into the thing and you're like, do y'all have diesel? And they say, no, we're out of diesel. So all the red handles are just using the pump for the guy. Anyway.
No. You learn things. It's a whole fucking thing.
I'm telling you. It sure is. So you like that. Mars yeah, Bars did a thing.
Is it Mars Bar? That's who owns that company?
I'm sure. Doesn't Mars own all the candy companies?
I don't know who does what.
You know that Snickers put an almond in their shit.
I did know that. Like almond and a peanut. What?
My favorite thing.
Yeah, what's your favorite thing this week?
I will say this. Yesterday was 420, the High Holy Day. Mm-hmm. And we were on the road for it, which was interesting. Like, mm-hmm. it's always, and I was driving for the whole first part of the day. And mm-hmm. so you were a little bit online, but I really wasn't very much. But once I got online, people had like posted a lot of their like weed mm-hmm. stuff. And ironically, we have no weed for today, which is totally fine. Mm-hmm. Got to do things different sometimes.
I'm kind of here for it, honestly.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But what I saw like right in a row was Kylie, our editor slash producer, had a No One Should Be in Jail for Weed shirt on and a post. It was like so, and like tagging. It was just like, I was like, hell yeah. And then right after that, I saw Montez, our director of productions, create a really beautiful video of like rolling, and in the caption it said, No One Should Be in Jail for Weed. And then Angel, who's works with our social media some and is a genius, but then she had this gorgeous photo of herself with the No One Should Be in Jail for Weed shirt on. And I just had to take a second to be like, all these incredibly powerful, gorgeous creators making this amazing art with this idea sort of at its focus that like means a lot to me. And it seems to mean a lot to them, at least enough to like use this day to like say they're affiliated and they believe in this message. And I was just like, I'm so inspired by all of them all the time that the idea that you and I came up with something that inspired them at least once, at least on this day, which we have an amazing working relationship, I think, with all these people, and all of that feels really good. But like to see them sort of proclaim that in public was extremely moving and powerful to me to like stick with this, all of this work that we're doing, because you don't really know how it's going to impact people. And those people I trust. Those are people mm-hmm. that like when I see their stuff, I'm like, oh, I believe in that. And so to see stuff I really already believe in, they also believe in, was one of my favorite things of this week for sure.
Totally.
For sure.
I mean, I do just want to shout out that if you want to get your No Jail for Weed merch, you can get it at wegohigh.info.
And /shop.
/shop. The message of No One Should Be in Jail for Weed, that has always been one of the coolest things to me about We Go High, is that it has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not you smoke weed or whether or not you care about weed. It's literally like, this is just a fact. This is just the truth. No one should be in jail for weed, period. And you don't, we don't need to argue about it. It's just the truth.
That's it.
And seeing people carry that message is so, it just feels really, really good and powerful to me, because I feel like it's not about us. It's not right. about we go high. It's not about, it feels like literally, I'm thinking about Dennis Perone and Brownie Mary, mm-hmm. and I'm like, this is their legacy, to just be able to say, the point is not to, the point is none, it's not 420, it's not organizations or t-shirts, it's that the message is something that you can just get on board with and believe. And like, that is so inspiring to me. And I feel so inspired anytime that I see somebody pick up that mantle. And yeah. I'm just really grateful to be in community with everybody.
Totally. I think too, there's some message about, for me, about consistency, that every single Dear Jessamine episode ends from the very, very beginning. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's 100% true is that we're in them, and that they end with no one should be in jail for weed. And I feel like I've yet to find a moment where it's not applicable. I've yet to find a moment where saying that is like the wrong, I mean, maybe saying it's the wrong like atmosphere, but like there's never a moment when it's wrong. Then it's like the wrong sentiment. It's like not true. And something that Last Prisoner Project posted yesterday was, you know, a very similar sentiment, but that like in a $25 billion industry, people are making much more money off of this like overnight, basically, than really other, anything else you could really retail, like, you know, all of these different things. It's so valuable. It's so profitable, to the point that like states are having to go in and like change the way that it's worded, like what marijuana is, in order to pass laws so they can make money. And they go right behind that and pass laws to further criminalize people so that only certain people can make money, and that other people cannot get off the hook for being somehow criminally liable for this thing that other people are making money off of. The disgust is to a level. It's so obviously racist. It's so obviously just an extension of enslavement. I mean, there's no two ways about it. And I think like continuing to consistently look critically at that and say it and say it and say it and say it and say it, even if people don't want to hear me say it anymore, great, great. Don't hear me. Shut me up with changing it.
It is also the thing that brings different movements together. Totally. And that's what's so cool to me about it, is that it brings abolition together with
plant medicine.
It brings general social advocacy, mm-hmm. And also family dynamics. It brings all of that together. It just straddles. So it's the linchpin in a lot of different social justice conversations. And I think there's been a lot of fear around seeing that linchpin, mm-hmm. because cannabis is so touchy and everyone has different feelings about it. But is a line that we can ride.
I think we've been sold this bill of goods that it makes you a certain kind of person to engage with cannabis. Mm. And so if you don't want to be seen as that kind of person, mm. which is a lazy person, a dumb person, a person who's escaping reality, mm. a person who cannot handle this as it is one stereotype. I'm like, I cannot handle the capitalism and the rampant murder as it is. I'm sorry.
Right.
I am too sensitive a being. I was raised in a way that like didn't set me up for that somehow. I don't know what y'all were doing, but like, mm-hmm. I cannot just watch murder, 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 murder all day long and be like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm having a great time. Right. Like there's a regulation that this plant offers, because the world was never going to be peaceful and easy. Mm-hmm. You were always going to get chased by a cheetah. Mm-hmm. You were always, you know what I mean? Like, cannabis is there to re-regulate. Cannabis has always been there with us since we were starting to look like people.
It's an always thing.
It's an always thing. We were always going to have stressful lives. We were always going to need to hunt and get out of the cold. And, you know, there's always going to be really, really stressful things, even in like before all of this bullshit civilization. You know what I mean? Cannabis was always there to help regulate our systems. And so to take it out of our rotation while all of the ratchetry is just getting way worse and more intense, it's like, that's dumb. That's weird. That's to destabilize us. That's to make sure that we cannot succeed in this life, that we can't find our medicine, that we have to figure out how to pay for things that like cannabis would just reverse, can reverse, has reversed. We have to go pay some pharmaceutical company to give us chemicals and poison to kill things in us that those same pharmaceutical companies are causing in us.
Literally.
While cannabis is over here just like growing quietly.
But cannabis can't be, it can't be monetized the same way that pharmaceuticals can be.
Right.
And it, can't be used, it can be used to persecute people in a way that is so particular and really efficient, especially if you're trying to create a police state. So it's just, it's very interesting the way that propaganda has been the driving force of the war on drugs. And it's really cool to be a part of this movement that is expelling the war on drugs.
Releasing.
Just letting go of it. There's no more need. Harry Anslinger is dead, and so is the war on drugs. Done with it.
War is over if you want it.
Astro thought of the week.
I don't have one.
I do. I wish I remember what the astrology was on Monday, but I do remember that Chani said shit was going to go down on Monday, and you and I had like magna opus fight on Monday, and she said that like things are going to come to light specifically in your committed partnerships, and I was like, bitch.
She was also talking about all of the different partnerships that you're in, business partnerships, you know, different things, which you're in a lot. So it's, our relationship is so loud and present that I think sometimes when she's talking, it's hard to not think of you. Mm-hmm. But I'm in so many partnerships also.
Literally.
I mean, oh my gosh, I'm in so many partnerships. And anyway, yeah, no, I was listening to that astrology too, being like, maybe other people too, not as me. You know?
Literally.
But we're both Virgo rising. And so when we listen to the Virgo rising one, sometimes it's hard to not be like, you too, me too, you too, me too.
It's interesting because sometimes she'll be like, it might not be for you, it could be for somebody else. And I'll be like, also, Aries season is over, which I'm a little bit sad about. I do really enjoy Aries season. And now it's Taurus season, which I don't know. I don't even know if I can talk about it without pissing off a Taurus. But I just, there's something about the judgment that comes from earth signs that I don't care for. And this is coming from a Virgo rising. So like, I get it. But I think there's a self-critique and a judgmental attitude that comes along with all the earth signs. And it's not my favorite vibe. I mean, and on that same tip, Cancer season is not my favorite season. Like, it's so, there's so much emotion and crying and like nobody can handle it. So I'm not just throwing shade on anything, but I'm like, it's Taurus season. Okay.
I get in and out of relationships in Aries season and Taurus season. Mm-hmm.
Gemini season is my time for that.
I just want to fucking Gemini season and Cancer season. I just want to like be in a cabin with the door locked. Just don't talk. I don't want to see anybody.
It's a wild transition. It's a weird time. And it's then into Leo season. I'm like so grateful when it goes into Leo season.
I love every all fire seasons. I just feel like, bro, we get things done. We make things happen. Yeah. Shit moves. It's like whatever you thought it was, whether you liked it or you didn't like it, it's over. Moving on. Let's go.
I think favorite water season is Pisces. Favorite favorite fire season is Aries season. And I do enjoy Leo season. All right, let's get the fuck up out of here. Does that work for you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay, cool. Bye.
Bye.
Dear Jessamine is produced by Tenderfire Media. For more on our show, follow us on Spotify and Instagram at Dear Jessamine, or head over to our website, DearJessamine.com. If you're an Apple Podcast person, you can subscribe to our show. And while you're there, write us a review. They really help us out a lot, and they give you a place to let folks know how you feel about our show. Here's our team. Kylie C. Roberts is our editor/producer. Angel Foster and Naya Williams do our social media. Janie Leppard draws our art, and Fruit Snack plays our theme song. Montez Mickles is our director of production. Anna Rooney is my chief of staff. Amber Richardson is Ash's chief of staff. Ash Danger Phoenix is my co-host and co-producer. And I am Jessamine Stanley. And we believe that no one should be in jail for weed.
Tender Fire.
Drop page.